ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Zechariah chapter 11, he says, "Open your doors, O Lebanon," from verse 1. Said that fire may devour your cedars. Wail, O Cyprus, for the cedar has fallen, because the mighty trees are ruined. Wail, O oaks of Bashan, for the thick forest has come down. There is the sound of wailing shepherds, for their glory is in ruins. There is the sound of roaring lions, for the pride of Judah is in ruins. Get back on the keyboard for me, please. That song that we're supposed to sing, I trust that we will sing it at the end of this service. I'd like to go through the wordings again. He said, when the mountains fall and the tempest roars, you are with me. When creation folds, still my soul with soar on your mercy. I walk through the fire with my head lifted up, and my spirit is revived in your story. And I look to the cross as my failure is lost in the light of your glorious grace. When the world caves in, still my hope clings to your promise. When my courage hangs, let my heart find strength in your presence. Let the ruins come to life in the beauty of your name. Rising from the ashes, God, forever you reign. And my soul will find refuge in the shadow of your wings. I will love you forever, and forever I will sing. The songwriter just put today's message in proper perspective for us. When you hear the word cedar, the Bible referred to it in Psalm 90, that the righteous is planted in the house of the Lord, and they grow like cedars in Lebanon. In the Middle East, cedars are regarded as the pride of Judah. They usually implanting it as a small seed. Then it grows into, you can call an oak. It takes root. And it serves as a means of covering, as a means of security, as a means of provision for the people. People derive benefits from cedar. And here we read this morning about the cedar going into the ruins. And if we can see that, the Bible is so clear about the time and the season that we are in. So we have a prophetic word in Isaiah chapter 60. I like to read from the Amplified Translation this morning. It says, arise. It's a command. Arise. Arise, don't stay in ruins. Arise from depression. Arise from the ruins that life has caged you in. Arise from prostration. Arise from the circumstances. Sometimes the ruins of life may stand or be tagged as discouragement, as sickness, as frustrations, as setback. But the word of the Lord this morning, because the glory must not remain in ruins. It says, arise from depression, arise from prostration, arise, whatever life has caged you in, arise from that circumstances and then shine. We saw in the scripture, Jesus came from glory and he was ruined for us. The Bible talks about it that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for iniquity, but the ruin of Jesus became a glorious ruin. By the time he went to the cross, all hope seems to have been lost. But on the third day, he rose from the dead. The Bible says death could not hold him captive. So the ruin becomes a glorious ruin for us. And today we can rise to a new life. That's what the Bible is saying. Isaiah prophesied it. He said, rise to new life. Rise and then shine. Be radiant in the light of all that God has said to you and I. Because the glory of the Lord. Last week, Wednesday, during the prayer meeting, by the way, please, at this season, don't miss the service. Because we just keep building. I feel a sense that, a sense of intercession at this time. I feel a sense of pressing in into all that God has for us. And one of the ways is through prayer. There is more in God. I kept hearing that word. There is a deeper experience with God. We can't stay in the shallow waters. Lines have to be upon line, precept upon precept. Don't get busy with the issues of life. So it says, shine, be radiant. The glory stands for the hand of God. The glory of God stands for his hand. In the Old Testament, it's translated the word kabod. It means weightiness, the weight of God upon your life, upon your family, upon your situation. It means the wealth of God. It means the covering of God. It means the manifest presence of God. It means the preservation of God. So in the Old Testament, it showed forth physically. It's regarded as the glory. But in the New Testament, which is the new life, it's translated doza, which means everything that makes God, God. That is his life, his nature. So the glory of God has risen upon you. He says, shine and be radiant. Don't be depressed. Because that's one of the things we hear these days among our brethren. People talk about depression. And then you ask the question, do we actually rise to this new life? In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, he said, if, so it's conditional, if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit has the capacity to quicken or make alive your mortal bodies. So arise, because the glory of God is risen over you. The glory of God is risen over you. Verse 2 says, because that's the situation, that's the ruin in our world. For behold, darkness shall cover the heart, and dense, or other translation says, gross. One translation says, there will be blackout. Dense, depression, sickness, evil. It covers the heart. But you see, in that same condition, just like it happened, the glory in Egypt, in the Old Testament, there was darkness in Egypt, but in Goshen, which is closely related, the same environment, the light of God was shining. And if there is any message we need to preach to ourselves in Nigeria at this crucial time, is that the light of God is shining over our nation. So darkness shall cover the heart. People are looking for solution. The world is broken. Families are broken. Corporations are broken. darkness covers the heart, and then dense darkness the people. But the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Jehovah Shalom, the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, has risen upon you. And then his glory is hand. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46, it talks about the hand of the Lord coming upon Elijah. And as a result of that, he had speed. He had speed. 1 Kings 18, 46. The glory rests in the place of renewal. The glory rests. You heard that last week. Everybody run helter-skelter when the wind begins to blow. When the storm begins to rise, people dash for cover, but eagle position ourselves for a flight. Because the same storm, the same wind that people are running away from, that is the same thing the eagle capitalizes on, to soar, not to fly. American condor bird, it's like the one who likes to copy the eagle a lot. So it flaps. And they said that the only thing, because the eagle has a membrane, a covering over her face, that the difference is when the eagle wants to yeye, American condor bird. Eagle is the only bird that is designed to look straight into the sun. And it's the same scripture that we read this morning. It said, unto you that fear my name. Unto you, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Unto you that reverence my name. Unto you that honor my name. Unto you that esteem my name. He said, the Son of righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. And when he comes, when his hand rests upon your life, he calls you to experience his own kind of results. So arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness covers the heart. Gross darkness covers the people. But the Lord has arisen over you, and his glory, his evidence, the evidence of his hand shall be upon you. Verse 3 of that Isaiah 60 says, Nations shall come. Nations shall come. Ethnos shall come. People will ask you questions. They have Jesus the question, where has this man got this kind of wisdom? They asked Daniel the same question. So, is the pattern of God? Nations shall come. Nations shall come. Nations shall come. We are very sensitive to what God is doing in the spirit. I don't know if you have, Wale, if you are there, if you have my African map that we discussed in the night. If you can display it for me, you've changed it. Flip it to the way I flipped it at you in the night. In 1983, 84, 86, some people, students, gathered to have prayer meetings. And at the prayer meeting, this map of Africa was, the Lord showed them in a vision. It became like a gun. If you flip it back, Wale, you understand what I'm saying. Let the people understand what I'm saying. And so the Lord used this same Isaiah 60. It was a prayer meeting among students on the campus. And then that a day will come when revival fire, we break out from this continent to the nations of the world. And it's not just breaking out, that it will break out from the trigger point. If you flip that, you will know that where that trigger point of a gun is where Nigeria is actually positioned. And he said that men, women will be trusted out of this nation to affect the nations of the world. And in the 1987, again, in a very prophetic meeting, that woman also has never been to Nigeria, said the same thing. And you know what has happened? There are three parts to that prophecy. The first part has been fulfilled. If you notice, there is no nation in the world that there is no Nigeria as we speak. There is no nation. And then the other part of that prophecy is the fact that Nigerians will be noted for great and accomplished things. And so presently, that is what is happening. Google it. Schools performance all over the world. Professional performance, doctors who are good. You'll find out that they are Nigerians. Recently, I read a story. I mean, Nigeria is trying to copy something about how to manage crime. And so they went to Canada. And the chief officer who attended to them was a Nigerian. So the second part of that prophecy, the first part, the second part is being fulfilled. Men, women, young women are being trusted out of this country. The second part also is being fulfilled because most of the churches around the world, if Nigerians are not pastoring in, Nigerians are part of the people who are making the revival to happen in those nations. Here we are, the third aspect of that prophecy. Nations coming to the brightness of our rising. That's where you and I have a role to play. We can't afford to stay in ruins anymore. We can't afford not to see the possibility of what God is doing with our nation and with our continent. We've been known for corruption. We've been known for things that are not working. But by the word of the Lord this morning, God is putting solution in the heart of his people. People are downloading templates at the moment because nations must come to the brightness of our rising. The third aspect of that prophecy is that African countries, so we are 56, so the other 55 will be looking forward to Nigeria. One of the quotes that someone, I can't remember. Okay, let me quickly search it on my phone. Someone sent it to me, and we were discussing about Nigeria. And it was a quote by the great Madiba. Let me see if I can lay my hands on that quote. And I will just, I don't want to paraphrase it. I read it to you this morning. Yeah, I found it. He said, the world will never respect Africa until Nigerian hands that respect. The black people of the world are looking up to Nigeria to be a source of pride and confidence. Every Nigerian citizen should be made to understand this truth. He said, how did this man know? God can use anyone to proclaim his message. He used donkey, yeah, to proclaim his message. So he can use anyone. Is anyone who is positioned to see? Another person sent something to me in the course of this week. 10 albums of Fela Anikulapo Kuti that is still running, that is, we are still challenging to get ourselves into that space. And he listed the 10 albums. And that still depicts our present situation in Nigeria. Beast of No Nation, Calcutta Republic, army arrangement. Even though we are in democracy, but it is still army arrangement. Suffering and smiling. So he said, nations shall come. If you look at this map again, there is what is called the 1040 zones. It's just above the equator and just cut right. And there's that belt is where the gospel is resisted the most. That belt is where literacy is high. And I'm saying this because that's part of the things we will do in intercession to address these things. You can see the countries that are there. Some of them are destroyed at the moment. Egypt, Algeria, Libya, they are destroyed at the moment. So the hope of this continent hinges on the nations that you and I live in. And I want us to understand biblical prophecies. It said, nations shall come. Nations shall come to the brightness of our rising. Jesus left his throne in glory to be ruined for humanity. And through his death, resurrection on the cross, he became a glorious ruin. Ruin in the scriptures suggests remnants after battle. Better days gone by. Physically, you can see Roman Empire, all these empires. You can see the relics of the battle that has been fought. It suggests remnants after battle, better days gone by. It suggests shelled carcasses, wrecks, and leftovers of what used to be. And then sometimes in our lives, ruins are there. It may just be a business that has worked in the time past. Business idea that used to thrive for us. It may be a career path that we were fulfilled in because the promotions were evident. It may be sometimes we use the word. It may be in the area of our finances. And so if someone is experiencing challenges, we say that person has a financial ruin. Something take away what used to be in their lives. Sometimes it's through neglect. Ruins come through neglect. Sometimes it's our cherished relationship with God. And then when we neglect it, it goes into a state of ruins. Sometimes we suffer shame, frustration, disappointment as a result of these ruins. But the good news this morning is that every ruin is coming to life. In the beauty of the name of Jesus. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, the Bible talks about something. Because sometimes when ruins come, it brings disappointment. But Proverbs 13, verse 12 says, when a desire is accomplished, it's like a tree of life. When expectations are disappointed, the heart grows faint. It grows weary. But when such desire, when there is a turnaround and the desires are met, he said it's like a tree of life. Something fresh springs up. In Psalm 92, verse 12, Bible talks about something. Psalm 92, verse 12, it said the uncompromising righteous shall flourish. Uncompromising means you stay clean to his promises. He said, though I walk through the fire, he said, and my head is lifted up. He said, when the world caves in, the uncompromisingly righteous stays. He said, his heart is clean to his promises. He says, shall flourish like the palm tree. That's the cedar. Or rather, palm tree. In other words, be long-lived. Let me talk about palm tree just a moment. Palm tree. That's a tree that every part of it is useful. Every part. There is also part of palm tree that is useless. But it takes time to plant, to nurture it. And once it's fully nurtured, it lives as long as you and I can think. And sometimes those palm trees, you get coconut from them. So year in, year out, you do little. Well, you can get from palm tree, you can get palm kernel. Palm kernel is useful. The nut inside is useful. The outer shell is useful. Everything about the palm tree, sorry, I'm mixing it up with coconut tree. But everything about the palm tree is useful. The palms, the raffia palms, you can use it in construction. Even the stem, you can use it also in construction. Every aspect, there is nothing that is useless. And that's the life of a believer. Every aspect of you is important to God. Every aspect of your life is important to God. That's why he says, but sometimes neglect, stagnation, disappointment, frustration may set in, and such things that used to work are now left in ruins. All we just have to do is to learn. And those are the four things I want to share with us this morning. The four things you need to do or to know. So the Bible compares in Psalm 92 verse 12 as a cedar. But in Zechariah chapter 11 verse 2, it said that great cedar can lay in ruins. Just like the spiritual king Nebuchadnezzar took the Jews captive and ostracized them from their beliefs and dreams and left their temple and habitation in ruins, things in our lives can also degenerate into ruins. But there's something about, before I share those four things, there's something about the project man that we need to pay close attention to. David had an insight into it. He said, what is man? What is man? Psalm 8 verse 4. What is this man that your mind is so full of him? Why do you want this man to succeed, to take charge? Why do you want this man to reproduce your nature to humanity? Why do you want this man to be the epitome of your creation? David also answered that question in Psalm 139. He said, in Psalm 139, if you read from verse 1, he was talking about God knowing this man inside out. He knows his thoughts. He knows his, when he rises. He knows when he sits. And verse 14 gives us an insight. He said, you have made this man fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a couple. So she's wonderfully. You are fearfully. That's why women are beautiful, because they are what? Wonderfully made. Men are because they are what? And some of those fearfully made, it shows in our countenance. Praise the Lord. So, but the combination that God made is what? Fearfully and what?
Wonderfully
made. So the project man. But you know what happened? That man was ruined by sin. He was ruined by sin. And the man began to live below his potential. And that's still the same thing today. When we allow sin in our lives, it diminishes us. It ruins us. It ruins our relationship with God. The flow of his wisdom, of his idea that is supposed to flow through our lives, we truncate the process. And the reason about this project, man, the reason God created us is to have fellowship. We are God's workmanship. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So the project man, God has things in advance for us to do. We are not here to mark time. We are not here to add to the problem. We are solution provider. So what is this man? So what did God did for this man? He gave him rivers. And so, but he gave him also wisdom to harness it into electricity. He gave him trees. So the man explored his furniture, his bed, and everything out of the tree. He gave him natural resources. So the man explored. So the project man is creative, is inventive, is created in the image and in the likeness of God. But sin marred that relationship. But thank God, even though that relationship was ruined by sin, Jesus came to represent man so that what was ruined will become glorious. And today we stand in relationship. And this project man, that's not the end. So he saved us. He also gave us his Holy Spirit as a guarantee of what is to come. So you have the Holy Spirit who accompanies you in your daily journey of life. That's if we allow him. But he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14, they are the mature sons of God. Verse 16 says, the Spirit himself, not itself, himself, it bears witness in our spirit that we are the children of God. So project man is not to stay in degradation, in shame, in disgrace, but whatever ruins the project man is experiencing, it must be turned glorious in the beauty of the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So our victory is tied to the death and resurrection of God's own Son, who emptied himself of the glory of God, came humbly to the earth, allowed his body to be beaten, killed, and ruined for us, but resurrected from the dead as the scandal of grace is still a mystery. You know what they said to those Jews? They said,
this message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,